Can you remember when Mike was speaking a few weeks ago? He said he could have said two words and sat down. Yes. What were the words? It's time. It's time. It's time. Time for what? Well, just before we had communion and we were singing that song, I had a picture. Ooh. I'm going over. Stepping up to the edge, use your imagination here. We've got a rope bridge going across a chasm. And I'm thinking, people thinking, no chance. And some of the boards are missing as well. So it's not in real good repair. I sense the Lord was saying, are you going to step out and cross over? It's time. Are we prepared to trust him and take and step out on the journey that he's got for us? The bridge might not look great. The way ahead may not look easy. But he's saying, come on, step out with me. Are we prepared? I've been speaking about dreams, haven't I? Is it wrong to dream? Well, there's some shaking the head, so if the shaking the head's the right way as well. Because you shake your head the wrong way, so okay. Anyway, what is a dream anyway? A definition is a state of mind in which images and thoughts and impressions pass through the mind of a person who is sleeping. And I added to that, or daydreaming. Because I think a lot of us daydream. I know I do. We just go off into that place of oblivion and we're just away. Some would say with the fairies, but I would say rather go with God, shall we? Yeah. And let's just be thinking. Just see what's coming into our mind. Is it right to dream? You know, dreams like prophecy need to be weighed. False dreams we need to discern and discard. But dreams from God, what are we doing with them? They're meant to be acted on. Can we expect to dream? Yeah, the heads are going as well. This is good when there's people in agreement with what you're saying. Can we expect to dream? Yes, we can. We all have the propensity to dream. It's a natural ability. So there you are. You can do it. But some of us dream more than others. And how often is it, ooh, I was dreaming last night, but I haven't got a clue what it was about. Yeah? But that's when we need to be asking God to let us retain, let us remember the dream. We also need to ask God to help us interpret the dream. Did you know you can get an app for your phone that's going to help you interpret your dreams? I don't know about that one, but never mind, we'll pass on that. But it's, you can get one if you want one. Yeah. God can direct us through our dreams, can't he? You know, and where do we get that from? Scriptural principles. We're going to look at some familiar ones. Genesis 28, starting at verse 10. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed. And behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord said above, stood above and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's us. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob woke up and he set up a pillar. Okay, carrying on from there. From what we see, God identifies himself. He says, I'm the God of Abraham. So there's no chance that Jacob is thinking he's had too much cheese. It's been spoken to him, I'm God, and I'm talking to you. And God reiterated what he told Abraham years before. And he makes a promise. And we know our God keeps his promises. And we see in verse 15, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. What an amazing promise that is. God's saying, look, I'm with you. I'm going to support you. I'm going to be alongside you. And I'm not going to leave you till I've fulfilled what I've said, what I've spoken out, what I have promised to you. Yeah, and then we see, so Jacob was impacted. And he made a vow, or you could say a covenant with God. His dream was real. And he relived it 14 plus years later as he returns to the exact same place. And God said he was going to bring him back. This time he comes back. Okay, he's had a lot of hardship. There's been a lot of problems. There's been a lot of difficulties. There's been a lot of heartache in that time. Not everything was easy. But he comes back with two wives, a load of children, load of servants and a load of livestock. He's a very rich man when he comes back in that state of time. And God has been with him right the way through. Someone else who had a dream, if we turn over to chapter 37. Now Joseph had a dream and he told it to his brothers and they hated him even more. Notice, they didn't think it was wrong to dream, but also they could interpret the dream because they knew exactly what Joseph's dream was. And he says, there we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood up all around and bowed down to my sheaf. Just think how insulted the brothers are going to be at that. But it gets better, doesn't it? Because it goes on. He had another dream. Look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him. How dare you, lad? Who do you think you are? Saying that I'm going to bow down to you. I'm head of this house, not you. You're one of the youngest kids. Why should I bow to you? His father rebuked him, but kept the matter in mind. That's what it says. So if we fast forward, Joseph was sold as a slave. He was sold into Potiphar's house. So we got heartache. Then he's bored and he moves into a place. Potiphar recognizes the value of this young man and promotes him. He's in charge of the house. Then the lady of the house starts causing problems and accuses Joseph of doing something which he did not do. And Potiphar could have had him killed at that point. Well, forget that. He's his slave. He can do what he wants. But Potiphar must have recognized there was something, or was it God's favor on Joseph that he was put in prison? Thinking, that's not very clever. It's better than being dead. Yeah. But then he's in prison again, and what happens again? Favor. He's put in charge of the prison. Now, what the jailer did at the right, I don't know. But anyway, Joseph's in charge of the prison. Things go really well. But then we see the baker and the butler come in. They had been put in by Pharaoh. Dreams, he interprets the dreams. They go out, one's killed, one's actually reinstated. 2 years later, I think it says, Pharaoh has a dream. And the butler remembers Joseph, and he comes back. And then he's reinstated, he's instated, he's actually made number two in the land. And none of this is in Joseph's dream. But all of these are steps or stages that God puts into the dream. And we see probably, Joseph would probably about 30 years old, 30, 33 at this time, because people put him as a type of Jesus. He was 17 when he was taken into captivity. So he's got 13 plus years where he is living through sometimes a nightmare, let alone a dream, to get to where he is. And then his brothers are stood in front of him, bowing down, fulfilling the dream. And later his father and mother come and bow down to him. Yeah. The dream took a long time. Heartache, problems, disappointment, rejection, all of these things chucked into the dream. Well, when we dream, we don't expect that, do we? We expect, well, if God's given us a dream, it's going to be a piece of cake. It's all going to work out right. It's going to be a doddle. Well, I'm afraid not necessarily. You know, Joseph dreamed. But God's plan was so much greater than his. Twists, the highs, the lows, but God was faithful right throughout it, protecting him. Last Monday, I don't know for those who do the word for the day, how many people did it take to confront Pharaoh and lead the Exodus out of Egypt? One man, Moses. A respected leadership expert writes, God has put a dream inside you. Are you listening? God has put a dream inside you. It's yours and no one else's. And I was thinking about this. I think for most of us, we could say our dream is our children come through in the faith and are going on strongly. But I believe God's put more than that. I think that that is an expectation of a parent. But God's put a dream inside you. It declares your uniqueness, it says. It holds your potential. Only you can give birth to it. Only you can live it. Not to discover it. Take responsibility. Only you can live it. Not to discover it. Take responsibility for it and act upon it. Is to negatively affect yourself, as well as all those who would benefit from your dream. There's a responsibility. And the truth, that if we're not fulfilling our dream, we're hindering ourselves and we're not getting into the right place. Poor John Greenleaf Whittier wrote, for all sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest are these. It might have been. In your twilight years, will you look back and feel you've spent your life struggling to fulfill other people's expectations, or know that you lived it to the fullest by striving to fulfill your God-driven given dream? Think about it now. Well, there's still time to change direction. He's encouraging us to start looking at and fulfilling the God-given dream. Think about it. Can I stir you into action? Oh, I've got some smiles, but I think people are thinking, what is it? How am I going to do it? In The Dream Giver, I don't know who's read that, Bruce Wilkinson tells a story about a chap called Ordinary. A chap who lives in a place or the inn called the Land of Familiar, with lots of other people who are nobodies, nothing special, nothing unusual about them. David was talking about routine. They had ordinary lives. They went to work. They came home after tea. They sat down and watched TV, went to bed, got up, went back to work. Just routine, familiar, ordinary lives. But one day, Ordinary thinks there must be something more than this, than just routine. And he wants to do something about it. And he's got a dream. So Ordinary thinks, well, I should be doing something about this dream. So he goes and tells his best friend that the dream giver has given him a dream. His friend says, don't talk about it. Don't tell any other nobodies, because they'll think you're stupid. They'll think you're a fool. So Ordinary didn't want to look like a fool. So he kept his dream to himself. Every day, Ordinary went back and forth to work and kept the dream a secret. Every day, Ordinary went to usual job. But his dream started to grow inside of him. Until it got to the point that he wouldn't be happy until he pursued it. But the dream giver hadn't made it possible. Well, he had payments to make, you know. He had to earn money to pay his way. He had people relying on him. He had a job to do. He was stuck. And time passed. And nothing changed. And one night, Ordinary goes to see his dad, and they sit down to watch television, and the TV's broken. So routine's broken. What shall we do? So Ordinary thinks about his dream, and then he tells his dad. A very brave thing, because he'd been told, don't tell nobodies. So he told his dad, and his dad says, I know. You've had that dream since you were a little lad. And then his dad says something strange. His dad tells him how he had a dream. But he stopped in Familiar till the dream was too late. He couldn't do it. As he was leaving that night, his father hugs him and says, don't make the same mistake that I made. You don't have to stay a nobody. You can be a dreamer. When I was looking at this, I remember my dad saying to me, when we just bought the farm, you've had the courage to do something, to go after your dream that I never had. My dad was a teacher, and he sticked in his profession because he had a secure pension. He had a cousin who was an antique dealer who also had a factory making reproduction antique furniture. And my dad was a very good cabinet maker. And his cousin wanted him to go into partnership with him and run the factory making furniture. That's what my dad loved to do. But he stuck with his pension. He didn't fulfill his dream. David, first one, please.
Dream, a song to sing. Even if you fail.
I'll cross the sea. I'll cross the bridge. We've got to cross over from one side to the other to get into the dream. And notice what it says there. Even if I fail. Because that's the biggest thing that stops people stepping into their dreams. What if I fail? Well, it's better to have tried and lost than not tried at all. Ordinary, after a while of preparing, quits his job, tells his best friend he's leaving. More discouragement. He leaves comfort zone, the comfort zone of familiar, the land of familiar, and he goes to the border. The further away he gets from the comfort zone, the more fear increases. This is too difficult. It's getting too hard. The further away from his comfort zone he goes. He needs courage to leave familiar to cross into the borderland. He turns back, but then he thinks, no. And he goes back. And he steps across the border, and that invisible wall disappears. He's into freedom. He's made that step from familiar into borderland, and he's moving further across. But then the bullies come in and tries to stop him leaving. Unexpected bullies. His mother, you can't do this, you can't leave, you can't go. His uncle, who really frowns upon it. And best friend again, you can't go, you've got to stay here. What am I going to do without you? Pulling at the heartstrings. But he carries on, because another friend called Champion, who was a nobody, who became a dreamer, and realized he could step out, helped him to leave familiar. And he gets right to the edge. He gets to the bridge, and landlord's there, the person who owns everything, including the bridge. And he says, you're not going to use my bridge because I want you to stop here paying your rent. But Ordinary says, I'm going to go anyway. If I can't use your bridge, I'll swim the river. So he goes down to the riverbank, and on the riverbank, there's a boat with a note in from the dream giver to help you cross. And he gets across, and it goes on. He's determined to go. Your dream is waiting. Dream giver will give you help. He gets to the other side. And instead of finding it's his dream He's in wasteland. And he has to travel through wasteland. And the food and water that he had in his knapsack gets used up in a couple of days. But then he just happens to find some water, just happens to find some food, and he keeps moving through wasteland. And he meets a somebody called Faith, who encourages him to keep going. Then he meets more dreamers who are returning to familiar because it's too hard. They're struggling in the wasteland. And they know, they've heard, they've got to face the land of the giants to get to their dream. But he keeps going, encouraged by the dream giver. Come to the water, come to the light, come higher. The dream giver says, when he gets further along, give me a dream. Ordinary shocked. This is my dream. Why should I give it to you? And he has an argument with the dream giver and walks away. Then after a while he thinks, this is silly. The dream came from the dream giver. So why not give it back to him and see what he does? He realizes that it's not to do it on his own. It's to do it with the help of the dream giver. Because with the dream giver, the dream gets bigger. He carries on into the land of the giants. And he meets a warrior dreamer called Commander, who tells him he's got to fight. Ordinary says, me? Fight? I've got no weapons. But then Commander says, the experiences you've been through are the weapons you use to fight with. We're equipped with the life skills that God gives us. God ordains weapons to defeat giants like moneyless, corruption, rejection. And he has to fight the giant of darkness, who controls the stronghold that's keeping anybody's captured. Ordinary gets disheartened. Unbelief sets in. Then he remembers Faith and the other warrior commander that he'd met. And he approaches the giant and he declares, if the dream giver is for me, what giant can stand against me? You can get the similarities of that that's coming through. Now, he goes into the land of the giants. And he starts fulfilling it up. From the land of the giants, he passes into the land of promise. And he starts fulfilling his dream. And he's gone so far on in this dream, and then the dream giver comes up to him. And says, come on, I want to show you something. There's more. And each stage he goes, the dream gets bigger and bigger and bigger, because the dream giver keeps increasing. Second one, David.
Even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. Yeah. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood? I have a dream.
Do you think he thought that was possible? When you go back to those stages, that was an absolutely incredible, immense dream. Remember that time, they were completely segregated. But that dream's come about. Not in its fulfillment, not the full way he wants, but it's come about. He had a dream. One man had a dream. And he pushed and he pushed and he pushed. Wilberforce had a dream and he pushed and he pushed and he pushed. Look what changed. Dreams, different sizes, different shapes. But once we've ascertained they're from God, we need to go for them. When we look in Acts 2, verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. But the coming of the great and awesome day, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Young men are going to see visions. This is ladies, remember it's generic when I talk of the baby. It's not men, male and female in scripture. Your old men shall dream dreams. Now it's not exclusive. If you're younger, you can still have a dream. If you're older, you can still have a vision. You know? But I mean, that's what God says. That's what the word of God says. That's in scripture twice. It's a prophecy by Joel, and then it's repeated again in the New Testament. Where God wants us to dream. The dreams are what he's putting on us. The dreams are what he wants us to fulfill and get involved in for us to be fully fulfilled in him. You think this may be a strange thing that I'm bringing out, but I think, what did God say? It's time for us to be moving. Some dreams may not take a lot of doing. That maybe just need that little bit of nudge or that little bit of kick, or say, here you are, there's a book, do that. Or here you are, you can have a lift. You know? And other dreams might need mega books. Where's the mega books coming from? Our God is able. Let's trust him. If things are from God, he will provide. Okay, it might mean that we have to put our hands in our pockets as well. But God will provide. Yeah, something I'm thinking about years ago in Scarborough. Scarborough Fellowship wanted to buy premises. And they put offers in to buy this premises. And they didn't get it. They were really disappointed that they didn't get it. They thought they were sure that God had said it was for them. But this place needed doing up. And the rugby club had bought it. And they poured all their money into it. And they built it up and they got it all finished. And something went wrong. And they had to sell it. Sold it for less than they bought it for. It had been done up. Who bought it? The fellowship. Fully done up. Two snooker tables on the top floor. Yeah. Everything done. That's God. And the bonus was there was a printer in the cellar paying rent, and the rent paid the mortgage. So they got a church building costing them nothing. That's God. What's your dream? What's the fellowship dream? What's stopping the fulfillment of these dreams? Lines bites. It's time to step out and share what I have placed inside of you. I have hidden you for a time so that your roots could go down. But now I'm calling you out of your comfort zone. Don't be afraid. Lean on me, and I will lead the way. The confinements that once held you back are no longer there. I have pushed back the limitations and prepared a wide open space for you. You are like a budding rose, ready to blossom. Now is not the time to hold back, but to reveal the real you. Many will be shocked by your transformation. Some will walk away, but others will see my beauty radiating from you. This is who I created you to be. Embrace your authenticity and release the sweet aroma that brings life. Now is the time. Are we laying hold on that? What is your dream?